It's time for the one show that takes you where others won't, out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible, with your own personal guide, the Pilgrim, on the 405, Mr. Will Chris. Welcome back.
Well, here we are. All right. You know, driving up and down the 405, you find lots of interesting things. And if you drive far enough up the 405, you're going to come up into L.A., and in L.A., there are lots of hotels that have great conferences. And so last week, I got to meet my friend, Mike Mooney. The first time that we've seen each other face-to-face, but we've had lots of conversations on the telephone. And if you don't know it, Mike Mooney, you remember that program called ACT that some of you used way back then when you were just starting off, before you got into all these things like Salesforce and marketing automation and all of that? Well, I remember it back when it was a DOS program. I was using it when we were in Boston and in Western Massachusetts. And I used it on a PC, and I was just so fascinated because I had, I think, like 32 megabytes of memory in my PC, and it was wonderful. And so I was using this wonderful DOS program called ACT, and lo and behold, I am now talking to the person who created ACT. So welcome, Mike.
Will, how are you doing tonight?
Well, wonderful. I'm so glad to have you on the show again. And I remember fondly learning this wonderful thing called a CRM in DOS called ACT, and here you are.
I'm still around. I don't know what that says. I guess it means I'm just older, that's all.
That's right. So ACT is still out there working. People are using it all over the place. You've sold that. You sold that several years ago, right?
That is correct. In June of 93, after 6 years of building up the global market, creating it and developing it.
Well, and so didn't you just take that bag of money and just go off into the wilderness and enjoy yourself?
You know what? I found that with that, there wasn't that much enjoyment like I had imagined there would be because I was bored.
Oh, no. Uh-oh. Well, you know, I hope that lots of people's picture of heaven is not what they think it is, or we're going to be really bored, aren't we?
That is correct, yeah.
I'm expecting that we're going to be going from strength to strength, and we're going to have new projects on the other side of this thing called death. You ready?
Well, I am ready for that, and I believe it to be true.
All right. Now, you know, also what I'm finding is that there's no such thing as retirement anymore. It's really just what's my next project.
I would totally agree with you. I from that experience of selling ACT, I discovered that I never want to retire, that retirement is not what it's cracked up to be, and you know, it's important to contribute. It's important to feel part of things, and that's kind of why I'm back where I am today because of that attitude.
Well, so purpose is an important piece. I find that all over the place, that having a purpose is what gets us out of bed in the morning. So tell us, you've got this new project that you've been working on, VIP Orbit. Before we even talk about what the software does, what do you see as, how is it helping you with what is your purpose?
You know, that's a good question, Will, and it's I take it as obviously a serious question. You know, I don't believe, and I never did believe, even after selling ACT, that my destiny or my purpose had been fulfilled. Because of that, I really, more importantly, began to view it as time past the sale of ACT, and I was living day to day that there had to be more and for what I was created for. And so it was really a yearning and a quest to discover, you know, what am I still supposed to become? And, you know, that drove me, and it lingered in me for many, many years, you know, as I did do things. None of them is satisfying, I discovered, as what I'm now doing. And part of that is because what ACT had done was to help people be more successful, and that, you know, I was contributing. I was making, at least the assumptive aspect of it, was that I was helping to make people's lives more successful, more satisfying in how they were helping their customers, prospects, you know, just the people that they had relationships with, and that is my DNA. And so I had to rediscover my DNA and find a means by which I could, you know, reemerge or rebirth, if you will, that passion in me and that DNA. And that's what I've done with VIP Orbit.
All right. So the passion now, you've talked about having the passion. What is it that you are doing now? What
okay,
does that
so,
mean?
What I'm doing now, of course, is CEO and co-founder of VIP Orbit Software. We design, I've created a new category of software called Mobile Relationship Management, and it is the best way to manage your contacts, calendar, and communications on your iPhone and iPad presently and more to come. But what it facilitated was taking notice of the ubiquitous mobile market that's, you know, before us all these days. I mean, where do you go where you don't find somebody tapping on their mobile device to help people have everybody that they know and everything they know about everybody they know right, you know, in their pocket, so to speak, on their iPhone. What I say that it does for me, and I believe it does for our customers who use it the way it's intended to be used, is it's my on-demand, instant recall, photographic memory executive assistant, all for the singular price of $10 for the phone version and $15 for the iPad version. I mean, who wouldn't like to have an executive assistant and have a photographic memory? But who can afford it at the prices I just mentioned? I mean, you can't find somebody at those price points. So it really is my, extra memory bank, if you will, the dossier I have on people. And, you know, when you're a relationship-centric person, the way you demonstrate the value that you impart toward the people that you have relationships with is by remembering all of those details you've accumulated over time. That's what VIP Orbit gives me, and what that means is I have a competitive edge because I've got to distinguish myself from, you know, other people that I deal with, competitors, etc., and it's one of the main means by which I'm able to accomplish that.
Well, so would you say your purpose has something to do with helping people to relate better so they can improve the productivity in their business?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, obviously, my career has been in the high tech industry. It's obviously as a software entrepreneur and as a software developer, and the understanding of and means by which I'm able to deliver that. Absolutely, it's my purpose. And so, the mobile market, as it began to emerge with the introduction of the iPhone back in 2007, enabled me and once again empowered me to participate and you know expose and experience my DNA was able to be done because of that. And so just like ACT back in its era, 1987 is when it was released, was an enablement because of the PC industry and this new thing called the laptop appearing on the market. Once again, I was able to put my arms around it, but even more so with the mobile devices. In fact, and I don't mean this in any arrogant way, I truly mean it. I want to make ACT look like nothing more than an experiment now that I've got VIP Orbit and the means and mobile means by which to deliver that.
So this is really, VIP Orbit really would be CRM, not 2.0, but 10.0.
Well, it could be, and let me make a comment on, you know, CRM, quote-unquote. I mean, the classical definition of it, I would never proclaim VIP Orbit to be the equal of to, you know, companies that are truly CRM, like Salesforce and Siebel and Microsoft CRM. But what I will say then is also let's redefine CRM. I mean, who isn't relationship-centric today? Everybody is. I don't care what you do, architecture, engineering, CPA, lawyer, who isn't relationship-centric and who doesn't have competition? So I might not do, you know, I might not have a quota. I might not do forecasting and pipeline management as a CPA or architect, but I certainly am relationship-centric and want to expand and strengthen and maintain that strength and development of my network. And that network is called and is comprised of relationships. And so, therefore, with the customization that VIP Orbit facilitates for each user to what they do as a living, it applies as a CRM in an informal sense, solution. I think it's a great... The problem is, let me step back, the traditional CRM companies have never been able to, nor do I suggest, will they ever be able to reach down into the the bowels of everybody else outside of quote unquote traditional sales, and that's my market.
Well, we talked on a radio show, goodness, 6 months ago, and in the process of that, I downloaded VIP Orbit and put it on my phone. Last week when I visited with you, I got re-engaged with it. So today I started taking a look at it. I said, okay, so I set it up to buy it, and it said, well, you've already bought it. So I've got it here, and while we're talking, what I'm orienting, creating some orbits here. And what I'm finding in doing it is that it is stimulating, encouraging me to define the relationship that I have with these 5,000 people that are sitting here in my contact list.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of what you had in mind?
Absolutely. I mean, the whole premise of VIP Orbit is twofold, obviously given in the name of the product. Treat people like VIPs, and you can more likely than not safely assume that you will be more successful when you treat people like VIPs. But in order to do that, they expect you to remember all of those little details about them. You know, that's why I go back to that on-demand instant recall photographic memory aspect of it. And the second part, and very powerfully and probably more often than not misunderstood by the people that hear the name VIP Orbit, is the concept of orbits. An orbit, by definition, the dictionary definition, apart from the celestial, is a person's sphere of resource, power, and influence. Who doesn't want more of that? Orbits can be anything you want. It is literally limited by the limit of your imagination and need. And so an orbit can be anything, and a person, although it could be a thing as well, like a house, could be a profile, but people can be in unlimited orbits. So let's take you, for example, Will. I've got you in my media orbit. I've got you in my touch base orbit. I've got you in my strategic orbit. That's three orbits right there. I can put you in unlimited orbits, whether or not they have to do with business or personal. It matters not. You literally can be in every orbit that I, put you in, but it's more than that. Because at that point, I would say that it sounds like nothing more than Google Circles, right? Now, VIP Orbit came out before Google Circles, and Google Circles actually validated the concept, but only superficially from their standpoint. Google Circles is like taking a deck of business cards and laying them flat across my tabletop and putting a rope around it. Okay, that's a circle. Great. But I really can't do a whole lot more with it than that. In VIP Orbit, I have depth because I can literally send an email or a text to everybody in that orbit as if it were one person, whether I have, 50 people in it or 500, and it sends it out as if I sent it out individually to you alone, which really promotes the concept of relationship management, relationship health, but it archives in every one of those people's profiles in their history file that I sent an email or a text or whatever. I can update an entire orbit all in one fell swoop, et cetera, et cetera. So the power of what I can do with the people inside of that orbit is profound. And Google Circles, as an example, cannot do that. And so, again, it's a focus on you. It's a focus on keeping track of every transaction, literally, that I've conducted with you, whether it's a call meeting or to-do or adding a note to your profile. It's all chronologically sequenced, and I have access into that. So I can stair-step back in time how our relationship began and everything that happened subsequent to that.
Well, all right, so that's kind of exciting to start thinking about, number one, for all of every one of these 5,000 people who are in my contact list, going through defining what relationships, because like you're saying, there's going to be a number of different kind of relationships I have with people.
Mm-hmm.
This person is a client of mine. At the same time, they're also in a Bible study that I have with them, or
mm-hmm.
they're in a lunch group that I have with them.
Mm-hmm.
So I can define them in various ways, right?
Right, and that goes way beyond a simple status designation. VIP Orbit does have a status field, You know, it could be maybe I decide to classify you as a status of a customer, but you, like you just suggested, you're in my Bible study group. We belong to the same health club. We play at the same country club. We're in the same homeowners association. We're business colleagues. You're in my industry acquaintances. You're part of my California people that I know. If I'm going to travel to Southern California, who do I know in Southern California? I'd like to let everybody know I'm coming out there because they receive my email, for example, or text as an individual, even though I sent it to the entire group to see who responds and says, yeah, let's get together while you're here, Mike, right? I mean, that makes me productive, it makes me efficient, and it makes me more effective. Plus, I'm keeping my finger on the pulse of, and maybe more importantly to say, on the heart of the people that are in those orbits. And that's important because people fade away if you don't, you know, initiate connectivity with them. I mean, real relationships are about emotional connections, right, Will? I mean, the stronger we're emotionally connected to people, the stronger the relationship. Well, why wouldn't we want to extend that to my entire network, whether people are business-oriented or personal-oriented, because in today's world, personal can become business and business can become personal. And so it's really just the effort and the dedication and commitment and the discipline, which is what's required here, obviously, to, you know, be that initiator to make sure that the people remain aware of me because I continually keep in touch with them one way or the other, whether it's once a year or once a week or once a day. It doesn't matter. We all have different levels or layers of the types of relationships we have, but ultimately we're trying to get them to get closer to us. And that's the process that VIP helps me to accomplish.
Yeah, so we have this definition helping to define who these various peoples are, what relationships we have with them. And I'm going through, I realize, wow, where would I put that person? You know, I mean, it's not just, you know, I'm not going to have an orbit of just one. So what kind of orbit could they fit in, which causes me to begin to wonder, who else do I have in my database that is like them or I have a similar relationship to? Which,
right. You know, so I'll give you an example. In my personal VIP orbit database today, right now, I've got 1,052 people in it. And I have a total of 56 orbits. So those 1,052 people invariably are in at least one orbit. But it's easier to remember an orbit and the group of 56 than it is 1,052. I mean, you've got 5,000. If I were to ask you, if you were with me right now, okay, show me your address book on your phone, which is comprised of those 5,000 people. I'm just going to take a guess here. I'll bet that you can't tell me what at least half of those people or who at least half of those people are. You obviously knew them at one time enough to put them in your phone book, your address book on the phone, but over time, if you just look at the name as it's portrayed in the address book, you don't even know who they are. I mean, I can tell you I don't. If I look at a name in my address book, I often say, I don't even know who that person is, and I'm now wondering, well, in VIP orbit, because they're in an orbit, it's much easier to remember them, along with the fact that I've got all of this detail, this dossier, if you will, of information, you know, attached to them. So it's a full dossier or a full file folder on everything I know about that individual right there, and it's dynamic. If I change one element in one area, it corresponds to the same person. So there's nothing that's ever lost or misplaced because of it. And so it just gives me a lot more knowledge, and knowledge is power when it comes to relationships. It helps me to more studiously and intelligently deal with and know how to work with the people that I have relationships with, and therefore how I put them, or where I put them rather, in an orbit further assists me in not forgetting them. We actually... You'll get a kick out of this. I don't know if you discovered. You will discover it in the next upgrade that I already have the version of that will be in the Apple Store soon and freely upgradable to our current customers, is an orbit called Not in an Orbit. So yeah. If you don't put somebody in an orbit, we've created a fixed orbit called Not in an Orbit. And what that forces you to do is to say, well, who haven't I put in an orbit yet? My gosh, I forgot about, you know, Will Crist. Wow, I want to put him in these following orbits that he should be in. And therefore, I reactivate you, so to speak, from a dormant or even a dead list that you might be part of, but nothing is happening with you in it because I don't really remember you.
Yeah. You know, in terms of our conversation right now, we're still at the first level to me, which is defining my relationship with each of these people. And I love the idea of orbits. I mean, it's getting, you know, getting some sense of what kind of relationship do I have to them? And who else would have similar relationships like that? I mean, that to me is a powerful discipline in itself. Now, the next step to me is, once I have those orbits established, what do I want to do with the orbits? Which would include what do I want to do with the people? But I can do it via orbit rather than just one. And I'm thinking right now. I mean, the one orbit that I have is Sandler, my Sandler clients.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, right now, my Sandler clients are generally dealt with in this mass email that goes out sometimes every day for 6 weeks at a time if we got a campaign like that. Or it might go out, on Wednesday to announce the radio show.
Mm-hmm.
But that goes out to all 5,000 people. Now, what I'm looking at is I'll be able to easily address my current clients with an issue maybe that came up with training yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we really took a look at, really clarifying what we're selling, because we're really not selling those products and services. We're really selling this higher level strategy.
Right. And so you could have an orbit, and just to use your example, if I could extrapolate a little bit here assumptively, you could have an entire inclusive Sandler mailing list. Okay, so you've got 5,000 people in that orbit. No problem with that. And do exactly what you described. I can send an email to everybody as if it was one, and it would log in all 5,000 people's profiles that I, you know, sent them a new, course that we're offering. I could also then say we've got a premium subscriber list within Sandler, the people that paid extra for extra benefits and value, et cetera. Fine. So those same people would now be in the premium orbit that have paid to be a premium. You then might have people that are based on a region or a state or a city. Fine, put those same people that apply to that orbit, the city orbit, let's call it, in that orbit. So right there, they're in, you know, premium city and the entire database of all 5,000. You might then have people that, have indicated they want to be notified of certain types of courses, maybe regarding quote-unquote CRM, right? Okay, so you've got a CRM orbit of your 5,000 students or subscribers that are specifically interested in CRM. So, and that's a smaller list, but it's nonetheless a very focused, laser-like list, and you communicate with them because they're the only ones pertinent regarding the interest in that topic. So it can be anything you want. Then you might have one called, out of those subscribers, who's interested in golf? I don't know why. Well, maybe Sandler sponsors a golf tournament or, Walk for the Cure, breast cancer once a year, and you want to notify them that you're a sponsor again and would they like to participate. The point is, and as I said in the beginning, an orbit can be anything you want it to be, and you can put any number of people in that orbit that it applies to. So, yes, at your stage where you're going through 5,000 people, and I know that's a task, but imagine, what's the alternative? Not doing it, therefore you're not going to be as effective or as productive and perhaps even as successful as if you take the time right now, methodically start going through the alphabet. Okay, let's get all the A's, people whose last name ends in A. Let's move them into an orbit. Now let's work to the B's, and you methodically tackle it, but you accomplish it, and now you're in a position to be much more effective and productive.
All right, so here's a question for you. We use Constant Contact mm-hmm. to manage our email campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, because of our own, I don't know, it's not laziness. It's really just lack of attention to it. We have all these 5,000 people, and they're in various lists, but we haven't really identified the lists that carefully. So we wind up generally sending everything to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're in the process of going through and making those lists in constant contact relevant. And it sounds to me like we're really talking about putting them into an orbit.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any way to take what I'm doing in VIP orbit and get the orbits into something like constant contact?
Yes, absolutely. And I appreciate the question. One of the functions of VIP orbit in what we call the more, the extra, if you will, extra function section called more, is the ability to do reports. And there's a variety of reports that we provide, one of which is a customizable report that you, whereby you are presented with all of the fields in VIP orbit, you know, obviously the first name, last name, title, company, phone number, email address, even the user fields that you've customized, and you tag them and say, I want to create a report that is comprised of this information, and it then finds that information and can export it as a CSV file, comma, separated file, which means you can send it out to Constant Contact or to an Excel spreadsheet that you can then further export, manipulate, and et cetera, that then you could forward on to do something that Constant Contact been designed to do. I mean, we, as VIP Orbit, use Constant Contact ourselves. Why? Because, you know, people download VIP Orbit. We get their email address, et cetera, from Apple. So we have a customer list, and we've got a whole lot more customers than I personally know or need to know as a one-on-one relationship, and we do things with that. For example, our customer newsletter, so it goes out to everybody that has opted in. So we use products as they're designed to be used, but Constant Contact in a very general, loose sense here, categorically, is like, you know, Facebook or LinkedIn. I mean, I've got all these people that are linked up with me or, quote-unquote, a friend of mine, even though I don't even know them and never will, and I don't want them in my VIP Orbit database. The people in VIP Orbit, in my VIP Orbit database, are people that I have literally gotten an email from, I've met them, and I want to keep track of them. I want to keep up with them. I've learned things about them. You know, that's different than just a name in a marketing list that is a Constant Contact recipient, so to speak. So figuring out how to use those people and to draw them into you. I mean, out of our customer base, I do get emails from certain customers, obviously. And so those people, now that they've communicated with me, that's a real relationship. It's the beginning of one. I create a profile of them in VIP Orbit. I respond to their email. I call them on the phone. We meet or whatever, just like I met you the other day. It becomes more real than just a person's name on a list that we market to.
Well, it seems to me the third level of how this works with. And I'm getting a note from my producer right now that we're at the bottom of the hour, so I want to hold this question. You can stick around after we take a break here, can't you, Mike?
Oh, of course.
All right, so I want to come back and look at what I see as the third level that VIP Orbit encourages me to do. So let's take a break and hear a word from our sponsors.
I'm Al Strauss with Sandler Training. Talk to you about rule number 38. The problem the prospect brings you is never the real problem. When people have heard this rule and thought about it a bit, if they've been in sales for more than a few months, they almost always say, well, that's obvious. I've had lots and lots of prospects that told me what they wanted, I showed them what they wanted, and they didn't buy it. So it seems that it would be obvious. The problem is, most folks don't understand it, and you get in the middle of the conversation, and here's a prospect who's interested in something, you've got the something, and you just show up. And what you really need to learn how to do is ask a bunch more questions, because frankly, in most cases, the prospect doesn't even understand what the real problem is. And so if you ask three or four more questions about what they claim they need or are looking for or want, you're going to discover that it morphs, it changes, sometimes dramatically. What they end up needing is perhaps even diametrically opposed to what they originally said they were looking for. So ask the questions, don't take the first thing they give you, dive down into the real issues, and you're going to have yourself a much better day selling to this prospect.
Do you recognize them in your office? It's a common problem for executives and employees everywhere. There's John, over there. He just seems to have his own vision. Unfortunately for you, it's not your company's vision. Then there's Mary, who always seems to fall short of what's expected. You've got people that need to turn it up a notch if you're ever going to hit your goals. The never-ending cost of losing people and having to train the rookies. You constantly worry about losing key people you have become too dependent on. Extended Disc is designed for business owners, executives, and employees just like you. Extended Disc provides you with information to make better business decisions with confidence. Extended Disc helps you and your organization to be more profitable by avoiding decisions that result in expensive mistakes, wasted resources, and time. You see the problem. Extended Disc, the solutions you need to push performance and growth. It's time you made a call to Extended Disc for the solutions you need. Extended Disc, toll free, 1-800-257-7481, or go to www.extendeddisc.com.
For anyone looking to get married, here's a one-of-a-kind event coming up this Sunday, November 18th, right here in Orange County. It's called The Look of Love. It's a posh, upscale event for today's bride and groom, where you can see the latest in bridal fashions, meet the latest in wedding planners, and basically find out what the uppermost you can do in a wedding today entails. You can find out everything you want to know about weddings. It's called The Look of Love. This Sunday, November 18th, you can win a $7,000 bridal gown from celebrity bridal designer Amy Michelson, or maybe a $1,500 gift certificate to Mon Ami Bridal Salon. Whatever it is, if you're thinking of getting married, you owe it to yourself to come to this event, The Look of Love, in Orange County. It's at the Chuck Jones Center for Creativity over in Costa Mesa, and you can get tickets at CaliforniaWeddingDay.com. That's CaliforniaWeddingDay.com for this Sunday's bridal fair, November 18th. And now back to Will. You looking to get married again, Will? Here are you.
Yeah, no, I'm very happy.
Okay.
I've got 35 years more to go, and I am set.
I just thought, you know, maybe that would someone
and
you know.
My daughter is all set, so we're fine.
Here. We're good on that one. All right.
So we've been talking with Mike Mooney, the founder and CEO of VIP Orbit, which is his latest creation that carries us into how we manage relationships. After founding ACT, one of the early customer relationship management for salespeople and others looking to take their database to the next level, Mike has some wonderful ideas and some wonderful support for creating a discipline for extending, deepening, and supporting relationships. Now, Mike, what we were talking about was the first level in looking at it from my perspective was that this using VIP Orbit helps me to take my large database and define what each relationship is or what the various relationships are with each of these people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Number two, then it helps me create these orbits, these circles around me that have something in common. Now I'm getting ready to think about the third level, which is now it invites me and almost requires me to decide, well, what would I do with that group? Do I send them an email? Do I send them a tweet? How do I want to stay in touch with that orbit of, that orbit of people?
No, that's a good question. And of course, I was just listening to your sponsor, the Look of Love for Married people or marriage, you know, wedding planning, whatever. And it occurred to me, you know, there's a perfect example of a what I will call a temporary orbit, because an orbit further can be permanent or temporary. And let's focus on the temporary based on your sponsor, the Look of Love, you know, wedding planning for a moment. So let's say I'm a wedding planner. I'm an event planner. And so I've got the couple, right? I've got the intended bride and the intended groom, and I've got their parents, and I've got the wedding party, and I've got the company that's making the cake, and I've got the company we're renting chairs from, and I've got the band that's going to play at the wedding. I mean, I've got the people that are delivering the flowers. Think of the number of people and organizations, if you will, that are comprised of people just surrounding a single event called the wedding. I've got the photographer, right? What if I, as the wedding planner, I need to call the photographer to make sure, you know, are you going to be there on time, or there's a change in the venue? Are the flowers going to be delivered? When are that we're going to? We're, you know, it's, we're, the forecast is for rain, so we're going to change the location. You got to deliver the flowers elsewhere. Imagine the ability by creating that temporary orbit called the Wilchrist wedding, right? Whatever you want to call that orbit, and everybody attached to it. Think of if you're a mortgage broker or a real estate agent and you've sold the house. You've got the mortgage company and the title company and the home inspector and the buyer and the seller. I mean, there's always the need to put people together with all of the information you have about everybody and everybody attached to that specific orbit. All right, so that's a temporary example. A permanent one might be, of course, everybody that I know in Silicon Valley or everybody that I know in Chicago. I travel to Chicago, so why not keep track of everybody in all of Chicagoland so that when I'm going to go there, I can scroll through that orbit, even if I don't send everybody an email through that orbit, right, as if it were one. I simply want to say, now, who all is in Chicagoland again? Oh, my gosh, I've got 79 people. There is no way, Will, that I could remember off the top of my head, or looking at the list in my, you know, address book on my phone of the precise 79 people that are in Chicagoland. And as I, you know, scroll through them, I go, oh, my gosh, yeah, I would have forgotten so-and-so, or, yeah, I want to call Bruce, or I want to call, you know, Dean or whatever, and make sure that they know I'm coming. And I further promote productivity and getting the most out of the cost of the trip and the purpose of the trip, right? So that's a permanent orbit, if you will. So I'm going to come back and say, when I mention that it's based on your imagination and need and how you apply it, it's just the simple fact that I've got it all organized, all together, all aligned, all accessible, gives me much greater agility and utility in how I manage my personal career, my personal job, my personal purpose for what I'm trying to accomplish here. And so, yeah, that's how I would describe the third level, if you will, of how I use these things. It's not just for sending out emails, group texts, etc. It's for not forgetting every person that's pertinent to that orbit.
Well, and also, not forgetting is important. Having them there, having all the content around that, and I think that's valuable. Not forgetting what I have done with them in the past. And then it also sets me up, just like you said, you're going to be in Chicago or you're thinking, Sandler has sponsors, golfers. We sponsor, pro golfers. And, my colleague is probably going to shoot me for forgetting the name of our championship golfer that we sponsor. But when something like that happens, if I have people who are into golf, I could spit out something to them immediately.
Right, exactly. So again, I'm going to go back to my personal use of VIP Orbit. I've got 56 orbits, but I've customized a VIP Orbit, one of the user fields I have called Hobbies. And if golf is one of the items in that field, and I, by the way, I've got a pick list, as we call it, a predefined list that I've built up associated with Hobbies. So if I go to your Hobbies field, and I tap Hobbies, it opens up, I think I probably have 75 different hobbies right now. I would just tap, well, you like golf, and you like baseball, and you like football, and you like, wine, whatever you consider your hobby that's in my list, and if it's not there, I can add it to the list. But the point is, across all orbits, if I type in, do a search on anybody that likes golf, it will find everybody, regardless of the orbit that they're in, right? And so Once I do the find and I get the result from VIP Orbit, it asks me, would you like to create an orbit out of this? Well, I could create a temporary golf orbit because we're going to sponsor this tournament, and I want to send everybody in that orbit, in this case, an email inviting them to visit us in our tent at the golf tournament. I mean, and it archives that I sent them that, right? And so I know who I sent that invite to, and I look forward to seeing them. And if they respond, great. I now kind of activate them, if you will. I know that Will is coming, and Paul is coming, and Sue is coming, right? And so that's what I'm saying. It just allows me to, remain connected, to be active, to take the initiative, and to further strengthen and maintain the health of all of the people that I know in my orbits from a relational standpoint. And that's good for business.
Now, this pick list, is that created in VIP Orbit, or is that in iContact?
No, that's so in VIP Orbit, like I said, we've got not only customized fields. When you download it, it will say user 1, user 2, and I can say, well, I want to call my user 1 across my entire database hobbies or personal. Like, I'll tell you what mine are. Again, I'm a user 2, so I've got 14 user-definable fields, and I've only been able to come up with 7 that I've been able to change the name of to be something. So I've got personal, and I'm looking at your profile right now as we're talking. So in your personal user-definable field that I call personal, I have that you're an ordained minister, you're Episcopalian, you're a TCU grad, a native Texan, and you were born in 1946, right? That's personal about you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Then the next user field I have is called business, and I wrote down in your business field pertinent to you that you believe that theological insights and business practices often mesh to create stronger momentum. I've got the third field I called family. And I've got your wife's name, Mary Frances, and you've got 2 adult kids and 5 grandkids. Okay, that's mm-hmm. what I know so far about your family. But everybody has a family, whether it's a girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife, whatever. Dates, now I don't have anything in your date field because I don't know your birthday, but if I did, or your wedding anniversary, that's where I would put it, in the date field. And then I would automatically schedule as an annual event to either call you or send you an email to say, hey, happy birthday. And then I've got hobbies, and hobbies lends itself to this pick list because there's an infinite list of hobbies, but there's this, the traditional ones, golf, scuba diving, photography, reading, writing, blogging, basketball, baseball. And in yours, I've got you like reading, technology, writing, exercise, fishing, and hiking. And then I've got fan of as user field 6 that I named it fan of, and that would be like you're a fan of the Los Angeles Lakers, for example.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I'm a fan of the Chicago Cubs and the Chicago Bears. I'm a native Chicagoan. And then the 7th field I have called referred by. So if somebody specifically referred me to you, I would always remember who referred me to you, and then I would probably send that person that did refer me to you. If you and I begin to get, into a mutually beneficial relationship or doing business together, I would send them a thanks, right? Thanks for referring, Will to me, and keep them informed that I followed up on what they suggested I do, and that would be to call you or meet with you, right? So it all has a dynamic to it, and that dynamic has to be managed by me. The alternative is to be scatterbrained like so many people are. Well, I've got you in my phone list, and I put down in my iCal that is dumb, right? It doesn't even know that you're in my phone list. I'm going to have lunch with Will. Well, that's just a blob, right? There's no connectivity there. There's no legacy that I'm able to capture with it and recall from it, and all of the other things. So, I might have written something on the back of a piece of paper or on your business card if you give it to me, but those things I don't carry with me. And VIP Orbit enables me to have everything encapsulated and organized and accessible, on demand, I mean instantly, so that I could tell you all the things I just told you that I know about you, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I could have gone to your LinkedIn page and read, that you like, fishing, et cetera. I don't know that your LinkedIn page has your wife's name, so where would I go to find that? I mean, maybe mm-hmm. you wrote about her in an article or mentioned her. The point is I'd have to go to so many places to do what I just told you about you that's in your profile in VIP Orbit, and the phone is in my pocket. It's with me 24/7, right? I mean, I use it as my alarm clock, so it literally sits on my nightstand at night recharging, but My phone is with me 24/7, and I've got everything about you and everybody else about that I have, you know, my 1,051 other people, with that same type of information that I've collected over time as I've gotten to know them more.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a connection between VIP Orbit and Facebook or LinkedIn?
Yes, there is. The iPad version is the newer version, and it has, so it's a newer code base that we're retrofitting to the iPhone. But in the iPad version, I literally can monitor your social streams. So if you're on Twitter, your Facebook, you know, we're friends on Facebook, whatever you've posted on Facebook or Twitter, as well as LinkedIn, I'm streaming that, and I literally see what's on the top of your mind as you're saying it to the world through those software products. In the iPhone version, I can go and look at your Facebook page, and I can go look at your Twitter page from within, VIP Orbit. I can send you a direct tweet, once, assuming that we're following each other, which you have to do in Twitter. I can send you a direct tweet, that tweet text, if you will, and it would log automatically in your profile that I sent you a direct tweet or that I went on your Facebook page and posted something on your wall. What the iPhone version doesn't yet do, but like I said, it will because we're retrofitting it, it will do the real-time social streaming as the current iPad version does.
Good. Excellent. I think finding pieces of software that help integrate the world as it keeps changing, I mean, that to me has a lot of value to it.
Yeah, you know, and let me say, I've really very much appreciated, Will, you allowing me this time to talk about my product. What is the purpose of all this kind of stuff? Whether you use Salesforce or, you know, Outlook or whatever system you use, what is the purpose of that? The purpose for me and VIP Orbit and, of course, ACT, you know, when I co-invented that, was intended to enable me to, you know, just develop more meaningful relationships. Meaningful business comes from meaningful relationships. If I could create and employ a system whereby I can do a much more effective and efficient job through the use of that product than I would otherwise, then I'm going to, you know, presumably be more successful. And who doesn't want to be more successful? You're successful by making more people happy. And if I can make more people happy, I can service them better, whatever it is that I do. I'm a babysitter, I have a child care center, I'm an architect, it doesn't matter. I have to service other people one way or the other. That's how we make livings, right? Whether you could be a pastor, you better pastor your flock better. I mean, it doesn't matter. We have to serve people better, and so that's what these products like VIP Orbit are designed to do, to help me service people better. And in that, I'm happier, I'm contributing to society, and I feel good, and I make other people feel good. And those are all good things to do as a human being, period.
Yeah. I think it comes down to how are we relating to other human beings?
Right.
Right?
How exactly.
Are we relating to those other entities out there who are, you know, between you and me are also children of God, right?
Correct.
How are we... and if we're not, if we don't have any organization, we don't have any system to do that, things like you, what did you say? You said they float away.
Yeah, they fade away.
They fade away. And what I find is, I mean, what I'm inspired with is this is a way of honoring those relationships in a way that I really wasn't able to do in the past.
That's correct. I would totally agree with that. But it definitely is honoring. It is a form of honoring. Why? Because I'm showing you, by remembering all these details, whether you told them to me or not, whether I captured some of them by reading something about you and I learned your wife's name, so I would ask you, well, you know, tell me a little bit more about your wife and by name, right? I mean, what if you and I, Will, spend time together? Let's say we only get to see each other once a year. You know, I traveled to your part of the country once a year, and we had a great lunch, and you told me, you know, I really am going through a hard time right now. One of my children or grandchildren or my wife, they're going through cancer, right, or some traumatic event. And we sit and we talk about it, and I'm compassionate. I listen to you, but I don't see you again for another year. Now, maybe we sent a few how you doing emails, but I see you a year later, and I get right into business, and I totally forget the grandchild or child or wife, you know, by name and what they were going through, I don't even remember to talk to you about that because I forgot it, because I deal with so many people, as we all do. And it, what that says to you, either overtly or subliminally, is I really didn't matter. I'm really more interested in just the pure business aspect, right? It shows a coldness and an aloofness from something that you poured your heart out with me about. Well, I don't take that attitude. If you tell me things, it's my responsibility to remember them and to talk about them when I'm with you. But in order to do that, I have to remember them. And part of the way I can remember is by having something that helps me recall what we last did. That's what ACT was about. That's what VIP Orbit's about, et cetera. And that's why I'm saying it really is all about the emotional aspects of relationships of varying degrees that you give me permission to have with you, because all relationships are permission-based in one facet or another. You know, you're giving me permission to talk with me tonight, and I'm giving you permission to take up my evening to talk back with you, right? It's mutually permissive here, but all relationships are mutually permissive if it's a relationship. And yeah. So because it's permission-based, therefore, I take the discipline and the commitment and responsibility to say, I want to remember that stuff. They're important to me to remember it about them such that I record it so I can recall it.
Well, I think that's what I was seeing in the beginning is this is a tool that allows me to effectively, with a minimum amount of effort, it to follow this discipline of honoring relationships with people, honoring other people.
I have had some people over these many years, you know, the ACT era and even now with VIP Orbit, and they go, wow, that sounds like a lot of work, right? I mean, I got to go through my entire phone list and blah, blah, yeah, okay, so what is the alternative? Let's make it a pure binary. It's either on or off, black or white. What is the alternative? Stay the same? You know, there's a saying, even if you're on the right track, you'll get run over if you stand still, and you can't afford to stand still even if you want to because your competition won't let you, right? And like I said, we all have competition. We all have choices of where we spend our time and who we spend our time with, and therefore there are alternatives for all of us. And so somebody else might be competing more effectively, more meaningfully, more personally, most importantly, to take you away from me or to exclude me from something, whether it's business or personal. Well, if I want to further relationships with people, I can't allow that to happen. And therefore, I need a tool to help me do a better job of preventing that and to be at the front of the line. You know, I like to say there's no traffic jam on the extra mile. What am I using to help get me there and separate me from my competition?
Well, I think there's also, when we think about this, what's the alternative? The alternative is to be alone.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
The
alternative to relationship management is to have no management, and ultimately, if you want to take it to the extreme, you'll be alone.
Correct, and you just used a word here that I would like to make a comment on. I've come to the, after all these many years, and it's taken me this long myself to, I guess, kind of travel to a little bit different, higher plane of relationships. You know, I really don't like the word management because it's really not possible to manage another person, to manage a relationship. Although, you know, we kind of get it and we've accepted, you know, relationship management. What we're really talking about here is relationship health. What am I doing to, you know, create, maintain, further develop, and ensure relationship health, especially with the people that I want to be healthy with relationally, right? I mean, if I'm meeting a vendor one time, you know, I order paper products from Staples, and our guy, the delivery guy, I mean, I have a little bit more of a superficial relationship with him than I do somebody like you. You know, we've had a meal together, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. We're together once a week. We play golf together. I mean, there are layers and levels of different types of relationships, but even the Staples guy who delivers our goods, I want to remember his name. He told me last time it was his, you know, wedding anniversary. I want to remember to ask him, well, how was your wedding anniversary? Did your wife enjoy you taking her out to, you know, Ruth Chris's steakhouse like you said you were going to do and surprise her? Whatever. Those things make him, you know, if it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon and he'd like to go home, if I have a closer relationship with him because I remember those kinds of things, meaning I have a healthier relationship with him, he'll deliver the goods to me even though it's time for him to clock out. Why? Because we have a relationship and it's healthy. And so I really am focusing more on the perspective of relationship health rather than relationship management.
Well, you know, it comes down to one of the things that we do a lot of talking about in Sandler Training is this notion of above the line, we deal with scripts a whole lot, and that turns people into roles rather than human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And to get below the line, we have to become human beings with them,
mm-hmm.
which means we know more about what they want and what they're doing and how they're doing it and things like that. And it seems to me that what you're really talking about, if we had a whole hour to talk again, we're talking about how to humanize this world that wants to drive us to turn people into commodities.
Simply
because we have so many people coming at us.
That's right. I mean, you know, we're not talking about numbers here that spreadsheets are designed for. We're not talking about words that word documents, word processing products are designed for. We're talking about people. And when you talk about people, we're talking about their hearts and their minds, right? And that's a much more complex and dynamic and unpredictable aspect of applying, you know, software or high-tech tools to further something that is so, human, as you say, psychological, emotional. It's very different. And so I can't rely on, you know, a simple Excel spreadsheet to try to keep track of your name and address and, you know, your title. That's good, but it's so basic and far behind what I am capable of employing to help, you know, drive closer and healthier relationships. And
that's really our choice. You know, we treat people as human beings with all the richness and ambiguity that is, or we get further away from them and they become, that commoditized role. They're the deliverer of our paper from Staples.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose the opportunity to interact with that richness. That's wonderful. So this is a wonderful thing you're doing here, Mike.
Well, I appreciate it, Will. So if people are interested in trying VIP Orbit, there also is a free downloadable version from the Apple App Store that's good up to the first 100 contacts in your phone list as a kind of a try before you buy. But people can take a look at it. So it really costs you nothing to explore a new dimension of how you could improve your personal livelihood, but more importantly, the relationships and the health of those through products like VIP Orbit.
And congratulations on being number one. Tell me where it was. You were number one, even above Dropbox, in what?
Yeah, we were informed the middle of last week from iBusiness magazine. Obviously, it's an Apple business-oriented magazine, both digital and hard copy, that we made the 50, their cover story coming out now, hard copy in about 3 weeks, and digital, it's already out on the top 50 business apps for iPhone and iPad users. We made number one out of 50. Dropbox was number two. There were products on there, well-known products, Evernote, LinkedIn, Apple's own products, Pages, Numbers, Keynote, just well-recognized names, many, many of them in the top 50, but VIP Orbit ranked number one. Why? Because it does focus on a kind of a day-to-day mission critical that furthers and can enhance your business success and business productivity. I'm glad they did. They voted us number one out of 50.
Wonderful. Congratulations. Thanks so much for this. This has been a lot of fun, Mike. I look forward to the next time that our orbits interact.
And you know they will, because
as
we were just together last week in Los Angeles, it's because you're in one of those orbits that said, "Hey, I'm going to be out there. Who should I try to contact?" And I contacted you, so I eat my own dog food.
There we go. Oh, you drink your own champagne.
That's right.
All right. So thanks a lot.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Take care.
Okay. See ya.
So we have such a wonderful experience in California, and maybe it's other parts of the world too, where we have these folks that come through, and if we're paying attention, they love to talk with us because we have so many great things around that we can show them to and talk about. So I encourage you, pick up the phone and call somebody that you're interested in talking with. Lots of good stuff going on. This is a Pilgrim on the 405 telling you that it's a great time to be alive, and there's some wonderful things out there, and there are even better things coming. If you want to see where we store all of our 300-plus interviews, it's on pilgrimonthe405.podbean.com or octalkradio.net, one of the only radio stations in Orange County. So, it's the Pilgrim on the 405. Glad to be with you today. Look forward to being with you again next week with some more interesting people.
You've been listening to the only show that takes you where others won't, into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible, with your own personal guide, the Pilgrim, on the 405.